This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamoto, MPR.
G'day and welcome to Manawatu Metal, Metalheads Radio. Local, national and international news, interviews and the latest new releases brought to you by MPR, Manawatu People's Radio. G'day and welcome to Manawatu Metal, Metalheads Radio. This week we were lucky enough to talk to Skinny Disco from the band Death Star, so that will be the first part of the show. The second part of the show we're going to be having a look at Suicide Silence, because they've released a new album this year. And then for the third and fourth part, we're going to be having a look at Metallica, because they have just released about 2 or 3 weeks ago their newest album. I've sort of spent some time trying to digest it. So we'll play a few of the new tracks, talk about that, and play some of their old stuff in comparison, and that sort of carry on. So without further ado though, first off we're going to kick off with something from Death Stars and off their newest album Everything Destroys You and The Midnight Party, and then get straight into the interview.
Start set 4.
we're talking with Skinny Disco from the band Deaf Stars. They're about to release their newest album on May 5th. It's only a few days from now. The new album, Everything Destroys You. You must be getting bloody excited, man. 9 years between drinks.
Yeah, finally. It's been a while, but it feels great because I think we needed a time to really make that album that we had in mind. And with the little extra time we got with COVID and everything, it turned out just the way we wanted it. So amazing.
Oh, mate, that's absolutely brilliant, man. You guys have released 3 singles so far, the last one being Angel of Fortune and Crime. Some cool videos for those. I mean, you must be excited and enjoying getting those out.
Yeah, it feels good. The landscape changes all the time, you know. These days you have to almost make a video for every song, or else, you know, you don't exist, or the songs get forgotten because albums tend not to sell as well. So you need the singles continuing, sort of. Well, I don't mind, you know, as long as we don't go bankrupt doing it.
Well, that's it. I mean, you just have to look at Metallica and their release, what, 2-3 weeks ago. And for every day after the album, they were releasing a new song on YouTube every day with a video as well. And it was just like, holy hell. But yeah, I mean, it's a whole new beast, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it changes so fast that it's hard to know, you know, what actually works these days. You just got to try to keep up, right?
That's right, mate. You know, and this whole Spotify generation and everything. But, I mean, it's kind of crazy because there's also that sort of like, there's the whole move in technology that people are sort of getting into, but there's also everybody's still going back to, like, vinyl is having a revival. And I see people are even starting to look at getting cassettes and things like that. So, you know, there is still that move back towards the old school.
Yeah, well, you know, I've always listened a lot to vinyls because I think it's the perfect format. You know, you put on a vinyl and you listen, and then after half the album, you go and turn the vinyl and you start listening again. You know, it's not gonna, even the CD was like after 5 songs you forgot you were listening, so your attention span, you tend to lose it after a while, I think. So with the vinyl you never do that, you know. Plus you can actually sit and hold something and look who was on the record and who did this and who did that, you know. I really love that, and the artwork looks much better on a physical thing. So I'm definitely pro vinyl, but I never quit buying records. So
yeah. Oh man, yeah. That's good to hear, man, because I'm not a huge collector, but I try to be, and I love vinyl, you know. And when I go back in history to my first recollections of music, with my listening to my father's collection, his was vinyl, you know. It was that a whole act of getting the vinyl out, putting it on the record player, and then sitting down with it and, yeah, you know, opening up the thing and reading all the liner notes and all that. And it was like I was talking to somebody the other day about, because I'm an older dude, when I was starting to get into metal, there was no internet. And that was where we found out about bands. You know, you'd read in the liner notes, oh, Metallica says, oh, they get into da-da-da-da-da, oh, Anthrax, Slayer, you know, and all these different bands. And there was, oh, I've got to check these guys out there, you know. And it's like, there was so much, that was how we got our information.
Yeah, and you know, I bought so many records just because of the way how they looked. Yep. You know, this looks cool, I gotta buy it. You know, yeah. I had no idea.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. Oh, that's absolutely brilliant. So, like I said, 9 years between the albums. I mean, you guys had the originally meant to release this in 2020, from my understanding. And then, well, you know, sort of announced that was when it was hopefully going to be coming out. And you've had 3 years. I mean, has that all been COVID delays and that sort of carry on?
Yeah, kind of. But, you know, we used the time during COVID to write a few new songs. So we scrapped some old songs and then we worked on some of the songs. So eventually, it turned out for the better. But then again, you know, we were supposed to release it just after COVID. I don't know if it's over yet, but you know, when it went down a bit. And But then we said, you know, we're almost at the finish line. You know, let's just make it perfect. And yeah, we did. And it feels like the right decision just to all hold on, because I think there's also so many bands that made so many records during COVID that, you know, you're going to get lost if everybody releases it at the same time. You know, we had the album ready last summer, but it doesn't matter. You know, we just wanted it, yeah, to be released when there wasn't too much other fuss about it, you know. Yeah. So it felt good, you know.
Oh, that's good, man. And you're right. I mean, there was a lot of negativity towards COVID, and naturally, because there was a lot of deaths and all that sort of care on. But at the same time, for music-wise, I mean, it did give a lot of people some great topics to talk about, but it also gave people time and bands time to work on their art. And, you know, there seems to be a lot of blessings that sort of came out of it. So, you know, I mean, it's absolutely fantastic. Hey, it was a wise move to wait, in my opinion. I'd agree with you, because, you know, there has been so much music coming out, a lot of good stuff, and, you know, you don't want to get bogged down in that.
No, but I think for us, since we anyhow we're not up to date all the time, have a new album ready every second year, you know, what's one more year is going to do? You know, if it's 8 or 9 years, it doesn't matter, you know. We're just happy that our fans are still there and wants a new album. You know, that's the main thing. And we're super grateful, you know. We know they've been waiting. But it's better that they get something good than something that we're not too all happy about it, you know.
Oh, damn straight, mate. Absolutely. And it's all about what you guys get, putting out the best product you can. And I mean, I know fans that have been sitting there waiting for a long time anticipating this one. So, you know, they're absolutely stoked that you finally got something for them. I mean, although you've been, you know, three singles so far, but they just can't wait for the album, mate. And it's only a few days now. I've been very lucky. I've had an advance listen over the last day or two, and I've been thoroughly enjoying it. So, you know, thank you for that. It's an absolutely fantastic album, mate. And, you know, like I say, I've got friends that are just amping to hear it, and I've been having to hold out on them. But, you know, in a few days, I'll be able to let them in.
Super.
So could you tell us a little bit about the writing and recording process that you guys had to go through this time? I mean, has it been some time since that, or has it still been something quite fresh for you guys?
Well, the difference on this album, I think, was that already when we had like an idea of maybe just a verse or a break or just a chorus line, just something, we started trying to arrange the vocals around it to see where the song wanted to go immediately. Usually we have maybe a song skeleton that we try to fit in the vocals. And I think that made a huge difference on this album. I think it's more musical, and it feels like the vocals belong a lot more on this album. And yeah, so that, but on a personal note, I had to record the album 3 times. So.
Oh, wow.
yeah, you know, because the songs changed so much, and since it was during COVID, I was sitting in my home studio recording it, and then you have a bad day, maybe, you know, you get some noise from the bass or something, and which you're not really paying attention to, and then Nightmares calls me up and is like, hey, what the fuck is this? You have to do it again. And I was like, oh, no. I know what he's coming from. You know, I know. I understand. But,
yeah.
No. But then he changes the songs the whole time as well. So, you know.
Yeah.
I know the songs now. We can say that.
Oh, that's awesome. So, does Nightmare do a lot of the writing? Or how do you guys work? Do you all write together, or and the lyrics and all that, or?
No, Nightmare writes most of the music. Of course, we ship in writing riffs and stuff like that. But it's, you know, you would say he's the main songwriter, and then Whiplasher writes the lyrics and the vocal arrangements. So that's the process. And then we all kind of have ideas about arrangements and stuff like that.
Awesome. So for yourself, musically, how does the music come to you? Do you hear just like bass lines, or do you hear like music and the bass lines just sort of sitting in there, or how does it work for you?
Well, in Death Stars, it's always been like for the greater good of the song. So there's no, it's usually quite obvious what you do. These days, yeah. I play a lot more than like on first Death Stars album. It was kind of following the guitarist.
Yeah.
But these days, I get more room to do stuff. But it always has to be for the greater good of the song. And I think it's quite obvious when you hear the song. It's just, yeah, it comes to you in a way. So,
yeah, yeah. Oh, that's awesome, mate. So, getting on to the, are you guys going to be doing some release shows over the next few days, or getting back out on the road and things?
Yeah, we tried to sort out a release show or a few, but yeah, we figured that the most important thing is that we can have a free entrance and a big party. And there was nobody that wanted to pay for everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're going to have a big party and no show, but it's going to be one hell of a party. And then we have a few summer festivals here in Europe coming up. And then, yeah, it's summer here, winter for you. But then, yeah, in October, we start touring. I think late September, early October. And then the European leg will start in late October. And that continues until mid-December, I think. So we'll be pretty torn out.
I think, oh, mate, that's awesome, mate.
Yeah, and hopefully we get to come to Australia soon again. You know, we don't have anything planned right now, but we always look to come down at least.
Oh, man, that's pretty. I'm down in New Zealand, mate. So,
You are? Yeah.
So we'd love to have you down here too.
That would be amazing. We've never been, so that would be super.
Oh, mate, sure would, man. And I know it's quite a logistical nightmare to take that other step over from Australia, but, you know, occasionally we do get it and it does happen. So,
yeah.
I mean, like, we've got another Swedish band that's coming down as far as Australia, and that's Ghost, but in October. But yeah, sadly, they're not coming to New Zealand this time. So, you know, but I think I might have to take that step over to bloody Australia. It's worth it for some of those bands.
Maybe you can row, find a boat.
Oh, mate, the price of bloody flights, mate, it's absolutely insane. I mean, you must come across that hassle for yourself. You know, I was reading, it was like last year they were talking about tour buses. And how expensive it was just to try and hire a tour bus in Europe. How's that working out now? Is the prices coming down for you guys, or is it still absolutely stupid?
It's stupid. We pay, you know, the double amount, you know, than what we used to do. So these days, we're going to have to squeeze in as many support bands as you can in the tour bus just to pay for the bunks. You know, it's super hard. And, you cannot expect to get home with anything else than maybe just pay the recent bills or something, you know. It's different times. But I really hope it will calm down and you know, that we find a way that it works for everybody, because it's going to make a lot of bands split up, I think. If it continues. Yeah. Or you're just going to be able to tour on home turf, or, you know, do local shows and stuff like that, you know, and that would be sad, I think.
Yeah, it is. I mean, especially, I mean, we're finally allowed to get out and about, and it's, you know, like, well, where are the shows there? I mean, I was, a friend of mine was saying that for the, like, for instance, Metallica shows, I mean, you're paying up to $500 a ticket. And they've got, and a lot of the centres are doing like two shows, two different sets. You're looking at a grand just to go see Metallica. I mean, dude, that's insane, man. I mean, they're mega stars and they're making mega money, and I don't even want to get into that rant. But, you know, it's just like, dude, come on. Dude, that's not even fair. It's not fair in Plainfield, man.
That's crazy.
Yeah, the excesses of rock and roll, mate. It's just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome, mate. So can you tell us for this latest album, something release format? So you guys doing any special vinyls and all that sort of carry on?
Yeah, we have one limited edition. I think it's like green splattered, super nice. And then we also have a white vinyl. I think the green splattered is almost sold out.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to come up with a few other colors. Yeah, but then also CD. So, but yeah, we'll see. Hopefully we get to print loads more.
That's what we like to hear.
Let's sell some records again.
Oh yeah, mate. I mean, like we've already talked about it a little bit, but obviously you like collecting music and collecting vinyl. I mean, what are some of your prized pieces?
Well, it's a lot of like I'd say, yeah, but like 70s progressive rock, that they always tend to cost a lot,
They do,
So,
don't they?
but I don't have anything stupid. I'd say maybe my most priced are like a couple of $100,
Yeah.
So it's just
Well,
that, because I really listen to the music. I don't want to just sit there. I want to listen to it. If I'd buy something for a grand, then I wouldn't I wouldn't listen to it. I would be too scared to take it down from the shelf.
Oh, that's it. It's funny because there's some collectors that are like that, and they buy all these expensive things, and it's like, why would you buy the music if you can't listen to it? And that's it. I mean, I don't mind paying some money to get my records, but I'm damn well going to play the thing. I mean, that's the whole point of it, isn't it? It's like I can't pass it. I mean, I can pass it on to my kids, but and they're sure not going to, I mean, look after it the way I do. So, I might as well play it while I'm alive.
True.
Oh, mate. Oh, that's it. It's absolutely brilliant. So, could you tell us a little bit about your first recollections of music as a young fella? I mean, what was the first thing that you heard that made you or inspired you to be a musician?
Yeah, well, I'm born 1979, so when I was about six, I heard Europe for the first time.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And that got to me. And then I also had an uncle who played guitar, and when he was playing, I thought, like, I want to do that, and I want to do it better than him. So I started playing guitar, and then he realized that I was kind of into rock, and he came and gave me a pile of vinyls when I was about eight or nine. It was Led Zeppelin, Hendrix, Black Sabbath, Frank Marino, stuff like that. So I grew up with that kind of classic rock vinyl, and it really that is my foundation, and it really wanted me to it really got me to continue, and made me want to be a musician as well. So
Excellent. So, yeah, I mean, you now play bass. So, what was the turning point? I mean, obviously, you'd still play guitar now as well.
I play banjo, I play pedal steel, I play bass, I play guitars. I have another band called The Herd. It's me and four lovely ladies in the band, and where I play guitar.
Yeah.
So I never left the guitar. It's just that I added the bass when Whiplasher asked me, "Hey, you can play guitar. What can you play bass as well?" And I said, like, "Yeah, maybe. What band is it?" He said, "Death Stars." I said, "No way."
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to play in that band because my ex-girlfriend was a big fan of Death Stars. She thought they were cute. So but then he convinced me somehow, and I joined the band, and I figured out they were nice guys and I liked the music.
Oh, well, the world's a better place for it, mate. Absolutely brilliant, man. So, who would be your favorite bass player or your favorite guitarist, from the old days or for now?
Yeah, well, I'd say Geddy Lee on bass, Jimi Hendrix on guitars.
Yeah. Oh, mate, that's absolutely brilliant. So what would be your favorite? I mean, I assume you do you listen to much new music?
I'm not too good, doing that, but I try.
Is there anything that's popped out for you this year so far?
Yeah, it's completely different thing. It's more like synth wave, a band called Priest,
Yeah.
Swedish band. They have some absolutely brilliant hooks. And they're actually going to support us now on the European tour. So I've been listening a lot to them.
Who's in Priest? Because that rings a bell somewhere. Has that got something to do with the dudes from Ghost?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah. No, I have heard of those. Oh, that's absolutely fantastic. I was a huge fan. I still am a huge fan of Ghost. So, you know, it's just like, I love what those guys do. And I love theatrical rock and theatrical music. Yeah. I mean, I was brought up on Kiss and things like that. And, you know, you just can't escape the fun. You know, it's that fun element of rock and roll and metal. So, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, I'm glad you're taking those bakers out on the road. That's awesome. So what would be your craziest tour story?
Those I can tell.
Or the ones you can tell.
Yeah, there's been so much. You know, this band, we've been through quite a lot and things never go our way. So I remember one time, last time we went to Mexico, we had a show booked in a small town called Salamanca, and we couldn't find a venue. So we called the local promoter and said to meet us at the gas station. And yeah, we were standing there. I was still in the van, and the other guys went out for a smoke. And all of a sudden, I see the promoter coming in on a small scooter. And at the same time, these military police vehicles, like tanks and everything, just jump in and they pull out automatics and pushes everybody up against the wall and forces everybody. And, you know, it was the craziest scene. And I'm still in the van and I'm like, what is happening? You know, so they probably had the eyes on the promoter, but they didn't find more than 6 grams of coke on him, so they couldn't bust him.
Oh, thank goodness.
But, you know, it must have been something else. Yeah. You know, if the military police, they must have, you know. So, and then the promoter took us to the venue, and it wasn't a venue. It was like, it was just sand on the floor. There were 2 DJ speakers on stands, no backline, nothing. So we had a tour manager from Mexico with us, and he said, like, everybody in the van, let's go. You know, and we're sitting on the highway looking back like, shit, the cartel's coming after us now, you know.
Yeah, oh, wow, that's freaky, man. Oh, wow. So do you have any tour essential items that you take out with you on the road? I mean, is there something that you have to have with you to keep you sane while you're out doing your thing?
No, but it's good to have a computer to watch, you know, watch movies. And I don't know. If sometimes I bring an acoustic guitar, but, you know, the last time I did, it was all covered in blood when I got back home because somebody was too drunk, just strumming away. It was like, looked like a murder scene. So I'm not sure if I'm going to do it again or if I'll just bring the same guitar, which is still covered.
Take the same guitar, mate. Yeah. It's probably the safest option. Yeah. Oh, mate, that's absolutely brilliant. So we're running out of time. I've got one last question for you before we let you go, mate. And that is words of advice for young musicians.
Well, just play what you like and do as much as you can, you know, and play with others, because that's how you learn. I would say, and you know, just put the phone down and just try to focus on practicing, and you don't have to do it 2 hours a day, just a little bit, but do the songs that you like or the music that you like, you know, that's important.
If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawa 2, you could make your very own, just like this one. NPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out npr.nz for more information.
And welcome to Metal 2 Metal, Metalheads Radio. Local, national and international news, interviews and the latest new releases brought to you by NPR, Metal 2 People's Radio. And for the second part, we're going to be playing some Suicide Silence. We're going to kick off with the first album. We're actually just going to really feature the Eddie era. So first off, we're going to start off with some tracks off the first album that they released with him, and that was You Can't Stop Me. And the tracks, Inherit, The Crown, and End Is the Beginning. And like I say, this, we're going to be looking at the development of Suicide Silence with Eddie. Metalheads Radio, proudly brought to you by NPR, Metal and Two Peoples Radio.
Yeah.
The next two tracks are coming off the Become the Hunter album, and I think these are cool tracks, and it sort of shows the further development of him and how he became a little bit more ingrained in the band. I mean, dude, after Mitch died, left a big hole, and for Eddie to come in and take over that position was a big ask, but this is sort of shows him stepping up. So this is the tracks Love Me to Death and Become the Hunter. Metalheads Radio, proudly brought to you by NPR, Metal to People's Radio. Metal We're now going to progress to the self-titled album of Suicide Silence, and we're going to be playing two tracks, Hold Me Up, Hold Me Down, and Don't Be Careful, You Might Hurt Yourself. And once again, it sort of just shows the progression of Eddie. And the next tracks that we're going to play after this is from the latest album. So if you sort of look at how he's changed over those four albums, it's really quite remarkable.
Silent power made to widen, yeah.
Metal to Metal, Metalheads Radio, proudly brought to you by NPR, Metal to People's Radio. And these last two tracks are off the latest album I've just released, and this is the tracks You Must Die and Altar of Self. Enjoy.
Time to avoid suffering. Yeah!
Metalheads Radio, proudly brought to you by NPR Metal and Two Peoples Radio.
Chemical waste, years of abuse, painless, take more, inhale the inspiration, heavy lead.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app.
And welcome to Metal 2 Metal, Metalheads Radio. Local, national and international news, interviews and the latest new releases brought to you by NPR Metal 2 Peoples Radio. So So for this next section, we're going to be first off looking at the new Metallica. So we're going to be looking at the last album. We're going to play something from Hardwired to Self-Destruct. We're going to play the track Spit Out the Bone. And then we're going to go on to the newest single that they... Well, the first single that they released off the newest album, Lux Aeterna. This is off Senior 2 Seasons. And the biggest track that they've got on there, and the one that they're raving the most about, which is Inna Morata. So without further ado, we're going to Inna Morata is actually one of the, is their longest track ever, I think, that they wrote themselves. Like I say, first off, we're going to have Spit Out the Bone and Lux Aeterna.
We'll be right back.
102 Metal, Metalheads Radio, proudly brought to you by NPR, Manawatu People's Radio. And this is the last song that we're going to play off the new album, the track Innamorata. It's an 11-minute track, and it's really interesting. I'm not sure that it's my cup of tea, but it just sort of highlights, what the Metallica that has become. They've changed so much over 40 years plus, and it's really interesting. I mean, I was talking to someone the other day, and I sort of compared, and I know this is going to sound like a weird comparison, but if you look back at U2 and their history, after the Joshua Tree, they had become mega stars, and Uktung Baby and Su Roper were sort of almost tales of a band that almost self-destructed, and their ego take over to getting control of themselves again and sinking themselves back into what they really wanted to do. Whereas for me, I feel like Metallica, the Black Album, completely changed them, and they've never been able to go back. And this is kind of the end of their end of that result. We'll be right back.
trapped with the three, spinning the web, misery. She feels
support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.
G'day and welcome to Metal 2 Metal, Metalheads Radio. Local, national and international news, interviews and the latest new releases brought to you by NPR, Metal 2 People's Radio. And to finish off the show, we're going to be playing some old Metallica now, because for a lot of us, this is where it all started. So we're going to take something off the first two albums. We're going to have something off Kill 'Em All and something off Ride the Lightning. We're going to have Seek and Destroy and Fight Fire with Fire. And for a lot of us, this is where it all started and what the first Metallica sound was. Metal to Metal, Metalheads Radio, proudly brought to you by NPR, Metal to People's Radio. And the next two songs are off the album that sort of defined Metallica for me, and I know a lot of people are different on this one as well, but for me, Injustice for All was where they started Well, that was the first album I heard, and it was just the one that meant the most to me because it was right bang in the middle of my teenage years, and it had all the anger, all the angst, all the everything I was feeling at that particular point in my life. So it was very formative for me. So we're going to now play two tracks that just really sort of reached out to me. First off, the Frayed Ends of Sanity. And then finally the anthem that just was, this was just everything to me, and that is Dire's Eve.
Thank you.
Metal and Two Metal, Metalheads Radio, proudly brought to you by NPR, Metal and Two People's Radio.
Push down on me, what's wrong?